Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I completely skipped the script, but I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we are the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Dean Volk. Dean graduated Northern Arizona University in 1992 with a master's in physical therapy. Gee, that's about when we graduated, wasn't it?
No, 99.
Okay. All right. Ron and I got our master's in recreational therapy in 99.
Awesome. But I something's telling me that we're older than him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we are definitely older than you. He was a clinical director for two different clinics for 13-plus years and opened private orthopedic practices outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, in 2007, which was built to three clinics before he sold it in 2020. He started an online Facebook group in 2018, which grew into a full-time work by 2021. And he was helping sciatica sufferers throughout the world. He has various programs now with two coaches and a team building a sciatica relief business that boasts a 95-plus success rate, where most clients have failed three to five other treatment approaches before finding them. Dean, welcome to the show, and we can hardly wait to hear how your therapy is working.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys on this show.
All right.
Dean, I might as well just jump right into it.
Awesome.
So, for our listeners that may have heard of it but don't necessarily understand exactly what it is and how it can affect your life, can you explain exactly what sciatica is? And then also, does it just affect your back, your lower back, or can it affect other parts of your body?
Great question. Sciatica, to me, and what I try to explain to my clients, is that sciatica is sort of a generic name. It's a catch-all name for any type of issue that aggravates your sciatica nerve. And most of the time, sciatica clients don't have back pain, but they have nerve pain along the sciatic nerve. And now the sciatic nerve is the largest and thickest nerve in your body. It runs from your low back through your buttocks all the way down to your toes. And it can be anything from a tingling sensation to a tight sensation to an absolutely debilitating pain, tightness, soreness, electrical-like shocks running anywhere from your low back down through your buttocks and to your toes. So it can be somewhat of a slight nuisance to some people or an absolutely incapacitating, debilitating pain to other people, depending on how their body responds to the pain, depending on what part of the nerve is irritated and what is irritating the nerve. And most of the time, I believe the stats say 90 to 95% of the time, sciatica is caused by a disc issue in the lower part of your low back and just a disc bulging or a disc herniating, poking on that nerve, which irritates the nerve both mechanically and chemically, which causes the pain. So I have been a physical therapist for over 30 years, and I have yet to see two identical symptoms, two people who react the same way to the pain, have the identical symptoms, even though they may have the identical diagnosis of, hey, you have a herniated disc at, say, let's say L4, L5, which is in the lower back.
Mm-hmm.
Yet their symptoms can vary massively, as I said, from something from a light tingle to a total numbness to excruciating pain.
Wow. Well, again, thank you for that description. And I'll be brutally honest, it sounds kind of gruesome.
Yeah, it could be. It could be really rough, right?
Absolutely can be.
Okay. And could you tell us a little bit more about your background? Like what led you to a career in physical therapy?
As far as a career in physical therapy, I can tell you that I was a junior at the end of my junior year in college at Wheaton College. Mm-hmm. Up in Illinois. I was sort of stuck in looking for a direction for my life. And I can honestly tell you that physical therapy popped into my head. I didn't know what a physical therapist was. I didn't know what a physical therapist did. I called my parents and I said, hey, here I am, almost at the end of my junior year, and I need a direction for my life. And I have a dad who's a pastor and a brother who's a pastor. But that I just said, look, I love you guys, but that's not the life for me. And my mom on the phone call said, Dean, have you ever thought of physical therapy? And I went, what made you say that? Because it was the week before that I had physical therapy popped in my head, and I'm just thinking, I don't even know what a therapist is. And she said, you know, we have a girl who's living with us who was rear-ended in a car accident, and I bring her to physical therapy twice a week, and every time I look at these people, they remind me of you.
Wow.
And I said, well, let me tell you, I've been thinking about physical therapy popped into my head this last week. Mm-hmm. So I started searching and looking, and in the last year and a half of my college days, I got everything I needed in order to prepare myself. So it was basically like a pre-med background with all the chemistries, all the physics, all the biologies, and I crammed them into summer school in my last year of college and got into PT school from there. So that's how I wound up a physical therapist.
So excellent.
Let me ask, what were you going to school for, or what did you think you wanted to do? Because, you know, with physical therapy and all the math and science and all of that, it's a big change, or it can be anyways.
Oh, it was a massive change. I started in school as going into accounting. And then I realized, you know what? I'm a little bit more hyper than most accountants that I've met. I just couldn't see myself sitting behind a desk. So then I thought, all right, let's just do business administration. So started in business administration and realized, all right, a lot of this stuff is sort of common sense and sort of general business principles, realizing that if I ever went into business, I would be trained in the business that I'm in, and these principles were not going to necessarily get me to where I wanted to be. So being at Wheaton College, it's sort of a Christian-based mm-hmm. Bible school. So I thought, all right, let's just go to Wheaton College Strength, and I'll get a biblical studies degree, and I can apply that to whatever else I was going to become in my life. And so I was actually on a biblical studies track that did not have a lot of sciences and biologies.
No, I
so
guess not, right.
That's why I was scrambling for the last year and a half of my undergraduate degree to get all the biologies, all the chemistries, and all the physics done. So
at the end of that cram, did you feel like relieved that this is where I should be going?
By the end of that cram, it absolutely was. And it was kind of a miracle how I got into school, because the school that I was going, that I applied to at Northern Arizona University, I was from Phoenix, Arizona at the time. And that was the only school in the state that mm-hmm. had a physical therapy program. And they had over 1,000 applicants for 40 spots.
Ooh.
And they called in 100 of us for interviews, and I wound up number 50 out of the 100 for the 40 spots.
Oh.
And it wasn't till the second or third day of school that I got a call that said, hey, we had somebody who didn't show up. Would you like to come?
Wow.
So it was one of those, all right, I'll be there in the morning.
Right.
And it turned out to be a great experience, but not one that I want to repeat, because mm-hmm. I didn't want to have a whole, yes, high stress, and it looked like I was going to be taking a year off of school because I didn't get in.
Got it. Well,
did you do any internships or volunteer work with physical therapy prior to your making this jump to a new career?
Yes. When I was at Wheaton College, I called all the clinics in the area. Mm-hmm. I got to observe and do some volunteer work. In the summers when I was back in Phoenix going to summer school, I would pop in and out of two different clinics as a volunteer and an observer, just to get some practical experience to see, okay, is this something, number one, that I really wanted, but also it was needed to get into school. You mm-hmm. had to have some practical.
Okay. Right. Did you go to Marion Joy by any chance? That's right there, right?
Yeah, by Wheaton.
By Wheaton? I did not go to Marion Joy. Okay. I went to a private practice that I cannot think of the name of. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just curious.
Yeah, because I think you were, like you were saying, you need to have a specific mindset to be a physical therapist. I think it really helps to have a positive outlook because, you know,
the results are so slow.
Right. Well, I mean, not always.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
You have to, you're coaching someone to do something. Through,
you're motivating.
Yeah, and motivating them. And
absolutely.
It definitely takes so I'm glad you had the opportunity to like test the waters before jumping in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I talked to I talked to the physical therapist where I work, and yeah, they definitely have a lot. It's very competitive. It is very, very competitive just getting into school. And now, and I don't know, maybe this is further on down the road, now you have to have a
doctorate
degree and not just a master's degree, correct, Dean?
Yes, that every school has turned into a doctorate degree, and it's extremely competitive and extremely expensive now, too, compared to when I went. It was nice to be able to write a $1,000 check per semester when I was in school, and now my friends who are coming out as physical therapists, $150,000 to $250,000 in debt. So
yeah, I was gonna say like that thousand probably went to like 23 or so.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes, it did.
And Dean, what drew you specifically to sciatica?
Great question. Well, during my career in outpatient orthopedics, I was seeing a lot of people with sciatica, along with shoulder pain, knee pain, hip pain, elbow pain, foot pain.
Sure.
And it was the sciatica clients that gave me the biggest struggle. It was the ones that I was not able to help. I was helping about 20 to 25% of my clients. And it was frustrating to me. But I always thought that, hey, if people would follow what I'd say, like the 20 to 25% who I helped, they would be fine. So I was sort of the thinking that, hey, these 75% of clients who are not getting better actually weren't listening to me. I guess I don't know if that's a male thing or a...
I do my exercises consistently. And
so
I think because it's empowering to know that there is something that I can physically do to help improve my overall, not only, you know, comfort with something, but overall health and ability, you know. So I think it's great that you provide people this the opportunity to help themselves. And I know you need
to. Exactly. And as far as sciatica goes, I was always searching. I was going to continuing education courses. And everybody sort of had the same approach. Hey, you can try these press-ups. The exercises, actually, I always tell my clients, if you go onto Google and type in generic sciatica exercises and see pictures that your physical therapist is giving you, just know that you're getting a generic program. And it's not something that's necessarily specific for you. Until I went to a course in about 2006, 2007, somewhere in that area. No, I'm sorry. It was about, well, somewhere in that general vicinity. I went to a course and the person who was teaching it basically taught 180 degrees opposite of everything I had known and thought physical therapy for sciatica should be.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
And I went back to my clinic, tried a couple of these exercises. Basically, it's a balancing program where you're checking your body right side versus left side, trying to find where the imbalances are, and not necessarily even doing a sciatica exercise, but doing exercises to balance out imbalances in your body. And when I started doing that, my success rate went from 20 to 25 to 70 to 75% overnight.
Okay.
Number one, because patients like the exercises, because everything I do is pain-free. I'm always looking for working the more comfortable, less restricted side, so that people are moving their bodies in positions and ways that are not painful, which tends to calm down the body, relax the body, which allows the body to heal. So what I do today is literally 180 degrees opposite of what I was taught in school and by most of the low back gurus out there who said, hey, we know how to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is I was doing about 75 to 80%. I had a 75 to 80% success rate while I was in my clinics. But since going online, my success rate has been about 95 to 97%, which is mind-boggling because you think physical therapy, you have to be hands-on, you have to touch them, you have to show them what to do and how to move. But I've learned that, you know what, I could teach people through videos and through one-on-one consults or group consultations. We can teach you how to assess yourself so that you know what movements, positions, and activities to do that are going to help calm down your symptoms.
Okay.
So is that what drew you to going online?
Actually, it was a fluke that drew me to go online. Back in 2018, I was literally walking to my office one day, and I started looking up online what people say to do for sciatica. I can't tell you the reason why, but I was just thinking, what are people doing online for sciatica? And as I looked at Google and I looked at YouTube, everybody was doing the same thing, giving the same generic exercises. And I thought, you know what? And then I went onto Facebook, started reading some things, and it made my skin crawl because I knew what people were doing and what people were telling others to do wasn't long-term. In the long term, it wasn't beneficial. So being at the time, 2018, I was in my early 50s, and I didn't know how to start a Facebook group. So I looked up on YouTube, how do you start a Facebook group? Mm-hmm. I started a Facebook group, invited my wife and a couple friends to it, and said, hey, I'm just going to see what happens. And I had no idea what I was in for. It became almost a full-time job within 3-4 months of people asking me questions, saying, I've been suffering with this for years, people from all over the world. And so when I sold my clinics in 2020, it sort of became a natural outflow to go, okay, hey, you know what? I've got, at the time, it was about 13,000 people following me. And currently we have about 20,000 members in my Facebook group and just people asking questions. And it became more than a full-time job. People said, Dean, why don't you start a course so you don't have to answer all these questions all over again? So I put together an online course. People started buying it. And then they started asking me questions about the course, which became another 40 hours a week. And I went, all right, we have to get some coaching involved. And so it just naturally grew sort of on a fluke. And what was crazy is when COVID hit, obviously that's when I sold my clinics and people were looking at Zoom, and Zoom became right. a common thing for people to do. And so it became a natural flow of what I jumped into. And that's the story of how I became online.
Well, all right. I have a quick question.
Yes.
I never remember, but with sciatica, what is the best to use, ice or heat, and where do you put it?
Great, great question. And I think my number one YouTube video is about ice or heat, because everybody wants to know. And the honest to goodness question is, yes, ice or heat is better to use depending on who the person is.
Okay.
So everybody responds to heat and ice differently. What I wind up telling people is I have found that most people benefit when they alternate ice and heat.
Okay.
Starting with ice to calm down symptoms, ending with heat to bring fresh blood flow in so that you're getting oxygen to try to heal the area. Okay. So everybody is different.
Okay, but that's a good answer. I like that. I could see
On the second part, you said where to put it.
Yeah.
My big thing is if you know that you have a low back issue, even though you may not have low back pain, that's where the issue actually is. So you want to put it on where you know the issue is starting from.
Okay. Got it.
If you have a bulging disc or you have
some
twitching muscles.
Or if you have an SI joint problem glute muscle problem. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Great. Dean, I wonder how many people realize the importance of stretching before and after any strenuous activity. Is stretching included in your therapy model?
What I do is, and I'm going to show you guys this, and I don't know if this will be helpful, but I always tell people, if you've got a tight, stiff, sore, aggravated muscle, what we learn in school is you want to take that tight, stiff, sore muscle and stretch it. Because if you stretch it, that's going to loosen it. Now, common sense says when something is tight, stiff, sore, and aggravated, and you make it tighter, that's just going to cause more pain, which is going to cause the muscle to tighten even more. So I teach people how to work the sides of their body that are looser, more comfortable, and less restricted, which actually releases the tightness on the opposite side.
Okay.
So I don't necessarily have a stretching program for people who are getting into exercise or before or after exercise, like you asked.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have my clients do is I say, hey, you know what? We're always looking for imbalances. So if you're going to stretch, say, your hamstrings,
mm-hmm.
and one of them is significantly tighter than the other, only stretch the loose one and then go back and see if the tight one loosened up on its own.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
And Dean, of the options out there for individuals living with sciatica, you know, there's like wraps and back braces and everything for sale out there on the internet. Yes. Do you have any thoughts on those types of products?
I do. They are great for short-term use, say like a back brace.
Okay.
I tell my clients, if you're going to use a back brace, mm-hmm. use it during the times you know you're going to be most painful, or if you're doing something strenuous that can possibly trigger your pain. But if you depend on a back brace or depend on any type of cream or anything, those are just what I call Band-Aid approaches to the overall fix. They're not going to help you long term, but they can keep you from flaring up worse in the short term.
Okay.
So just be wise. It's like taking a pain pill. That may knock your pain down some, but it's not taking care of the problem.
Sure.
It's sort of masking what's really going on. And if you do too much while you're on that pain pill, you can actually do further damage without realizing it.
Right. Okay. Right. Thank you.
So Dean, how important is nutrition or even taking supplements in treating sciatica?
Great question. And it can definitely play a role, especially your diet, if the problem is primarily inflammation related. Mm-hmm. I try to encourage my clients, hey, you know what? The less good tasting food you can eat while you're inflamed, the better, seeing how it's the carbohydrates and the sugars that seem to cause inflammation, which is a bummer because most of us like those carbs and sugars. But a lower inflammation diet will definitely help calm down some symptoms if the primary issue with your sciatica is an inflammatory issue. And as far as supplements go, I always tell people, hey, you know what? It is not a bad idea to get some vitamin B's and D's in you. And as far as vitamin D goes, get out in that sun if you can. I know in Illinois this time of year, it's not that prevalent. But in Southern California, where I'm living currently, you can get out multiple times during the day to hit the sun. So,
okay.
Yes, supplements and diet can definitely play a role.
Excellent. Thank you.
And Dean, with your online platform, how do you ensure safety and quality control when you don't have your hands on a patient?
Great, great question. Like I said, when what I teach is we're always having you assess your body. Mm-hmm. Like, simply put, the first exercise that I teach is a simple trunk rotation, twisting to the right, twisting to the left. And I try to teach people, you've got to try to discern which side of your body feels looser, more comfortable, less restricted. And I only work the side that is looser, more comfortable, less restricted, because we're trying to calm the body down, put it in a position of comfort so that the rest of the body can ease tension. And actually, it causes your central nervous system to stop that fight or flight response when you put your body in a comfortable, easy position. And it sounds confusing, but simple exercises and simple positioning is what we use. And we also try to tell our clients the best thing that you can start learning for yourself is to map out your triggers. And a trigger is anything that can flare up your pain. And I tell them to map it out, because MAP stands for what movement, activity, or position is causing your symptoms to get aggravated. And you want to try to avoid those movement, positions, and activities as much as possible, or adapt the way that you're doing those things so that you're not constantly triggering your pain. Because I always use the example of a scab on your arm. If you continue to scratch and pick at a scab, it's just going to take that much longer to heal. So you don't want to keep on picking and stretching and aggravating your sciatica, mm-hmm. because that will cause a delay in healing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I have a question that I didn't put in the script, but it just kind of jumped out at me, and I'm probably going to get yelled at by everybody else here. But what are your thoughts about the obesity rate in the United States, and with most of that weight being carried in the gut, putting pressure and changing the way that you're standing because your balance is off with too much in the front, Do you think that there's going to be more sciatica victims or patients due to that?
Or can I just sum it up with, Dean, what role do you think having, you know, like if your overall health and body mass composition has on your chances of getting, you know, having sciatica and recovering from sciatica? Can that's reducing exactly your body
what,
mass?
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
I totally understand. That's a great question. And what's wild is, in all my years, I've never seen weight play a huge problem, play a huge factor. As a matter of fact, on my Facebook group, people go, if I just lost some weight, would that help me? And it's sort of a catch-22. Obviously, there is an obesity problem, and yes, there's a big mass problem in our country. But if you don't know where the mass is going to be coming off or how it's going to be affecting your spine, I've actually had more people than not from my group of 20,000 people say, when I lost weight, my pain either stayed the same or got worse, because it's going to change the way your body's handling the weight and addressing the weight and holding the weight, and it'll affect your pelvis, it'll affect your low back. So sometimes it actually is a disadvantage to lose weight for some people as far as sciatica goes, not for their overall health. I'm separating those two out.
Sure, sure.
But obviously, if you're carrying excess weight for your health's sake and longevity's sake, do what you can to get in better shape, and we'll deal with the sciatica as we need to from there. Because the way you're carrying your weight can cause your pelvis to rotate forward, rotate back, depending on where the weight is and how your body's composed. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you, thank you. Sorry to throw that.
No, it was actually a really good question.
All right.
Great question.
Great. Now I got another one for you. What is one thing that you wish everybody knew about sciatica?
What is one thing that I wish everybody knew about sciatica?
Or is there anything that people misconstrue about sciatica?
Oh, that's another great one. So, yes, I always try to tell people that 98 to 100% of the time, sciatica is very beatable and treatable. People think that, oh no, because my sciatic nerve is irritated, or because I have degenerative disc disease, or because I have a bulging disc, I'm stuck for life. That is so not true, because studies are showing and proving that most people over 35 and 40 years old have degenerative disc disease, have bulges in their back, and have herniations in their back, and are symptom-free. So just because you have a test that shows you have a supposed problem doesn't mean that that problem is giving you a pain for life. In the same way that wrinkles on your face and gray hairs on your head are not a sign that you should be living in pain and that it's a problem. It's just a general aging issue that doesn't necessarily have to be painful. So if you're out there with sciatica, please know, if your symptoms change, if they fluctuate, 99% of the time it's beatable and treatable with the right treatment approach.
That's great.
Thank you.
And what can a new patient do to facilitate their care? And are your services covered by insurance? I know those are two vastly different questions.
No problem. First one is easy. We are not covered by insurance because obviously we are not in every state. We can't. Okay. Sign up for the contracts. And honestly, when I started treating people in this way with the opposite approach of what most people use, I got so many denials from insurance companies when I owned my clinics, just simply because they said, why are you working their shoulders and their left leg when the right leg is the problem? And I said, your clients are getting better faster and they're spending less time with me. Isn't that a positive thing? You're not following our protocol. So I went, all right, I'm done with you. So no, we don't accept insurance. And the first part, first thing someone should do, or if you have been diagnosed with sciatica, my suggestion would be try to find somebody who specializes specifically in sciatica in your area. Because there's, just like myself, when I was early out in school, I was a sort of a general orthopedic specialist. So anything that came through my door, I would see, and it didn't mean I was specializing or an expert in any area. But over the last 15 years, obviously, I've been focusing on sciatica. And there's a big difference between seeing somebody who deals with sciatica day in and day out versus someone who sees four or five patients a week with sciatica. So best thing is try to find somebody who says that they're a sciatica or who proves that they're a sciatica specialist or mm-hmm. expert in your area. If not, feel free to reach out because this is what we do 24/7 between myself and the two coaches that I have and soon to be three coaches if things keep going the way they are.
Okay, thank you. I have another two-part question. How do you maintain a good work-life balance, and what do you do to reduce stress?
All right. Work-life balance, that's always a source of discussion with my wife and I because I used to be at the clinics all the time from 7 to 7, and now I'm sitting in my office in my second bedroom going, how do I get off of this so that I can have a better work-life balance? That is something that is always a struggle, but I know it's critical. My wife is someone who typically walks anywhere from 3 to 8 miles a day. So I try to join her on one of her walks so that obviously we can have some time together, but also time off the screen. And we are planning on traveling a lot this year just to try to break up the work that I'm doing. And being able to hand off the work to competent people is also great in helping that. Mm-hmm. So the work-life balance, and then what was the second part?
What do you do to reduce stress?
I do what I actually teach my clients. There's some breathing techniques that I use. I do a lot of prayer and meditation. I get outside in the sun. I drink a lot of water. I try to keep a positive attitude because it's so easy to get overwhelmed when you're dealing with people who are constantly in pain. And like you guys said early on, it takes a unique type of individual to be a physical therapist who has to be a coach and positive all the time because I hear stories of, stories that I just cringe and go, my life is amazing compared to most of the stories I hear. Mm-hmm. So that's how I try to do it.
Okay, great. Well, Dean, we'd like to thank you very much for joining our show today. How can our listeners learn more about you and your business, Sciatica Relief Now?
Well, it's been a pleasure being with you guys. And yes, Sciatica Relief Now. You can look me up online, Dean Volk, Sciatica Relief Now. And I will send you guys a couple links so that you can link it to the podcast. I'm assuming that's what you do.
Yep, correct.
but yes, you can find me on Facebook under my name or under my business, Sciatica Relief Now. And the group that has 20,000 members is Sciatica and Piriformis Syndrome Relief Group. Or just message me on Facebook and I will hook you up with a group or whatever we need to do for you so that we can get you on the road to recovery if you're dealing with sciatica.
Great.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yes. And if you could
My pleasure. Thank you.
If you have any questions or comments related to today's show, please contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, give us a review wherever you get your As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.